Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, amen. Why don't you have a seat? Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. If you're a guest, my name's Trey. I'm the pastor here. I want to thank you for joining us here. I want to thank you for joining us online today. Man, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you in advance, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Because I was at the 8:30 and it was good. And the 10 is going to be good. Because our God's good. And I don't know, man. This isn't part of the sermon, but I'll just say it. I felt myself in need this morning of that little extra assurance. And God always delivers. And that's the value of this. That's the value of the gathering, either in the room, the gathering on the online, the weekly coming together. It's that no matter what happens on a weekly basis, for those of us that call ourselves Christians, we know when we all come together and surrender ourselves to God for an hour, hour and a half, He can deliver things we didn't know He was even going to bring. He can provide things we didn't even know we needed. And that's the value of this moment. That's the value of why we gather. It's really what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Because we began a series early, the first Sunday of this year, kind of acknowledging a reality I have certainly experienced, a reality we've all probably experienced, which was 2020 was tough. A lot of curveballs, a lot of things we weren't expecting, and there's that natural tendency, that natural hope that, hey, 2021's coming, new year, let's go. And then it turned January, we were like, oh no. Well, that didn't quite go like we wanted. And so that's why we started the series that we're in. It's called Resolved. And if this is your first Sunday here, it's your first time joining us online, man, I'm going to highly encourage you, if you haven't already, download this app. We talk about it every week because it is the best way to stay connected to our church. If you're online, it's the best way to let us know who you are. And the good thing about this app is you can go back and you can catch up because we've been in this series now. This is the fourth week of our series. And the whole point of our series is that because 2020 was like no year we've ever experienced, 2021, we needed to take an approach different than what we normally take, which is why we all agreed when we started the series that this year we need more than resolutions. This year we need more than the standard approach to a new year. We need, what we've been challenging each other to develop is resolve. Now, what's the difference between resolutions and resolve? Resolutions are just a list of things we want to change about ourselves. They can be serious, they can be silly, they can be light, they can be heavy. Resolve is a mindset. Resolve is a determination. Resolve is a way of moving forward in the world. And what I've been challenging all of us to resolve to do, really this entire year, is to resolve to develop a new skill. Something that I believe I'm going to need and you're going to need and we're all going to need as we continue to navigate 2021 and try to actually move forward and grow. And that skill we've been talking about for the last few weeks is resilience. And we define the resilience this way. Resilience is our ability to withstand adversity, to bounce back, and to grow. When you think about 2020, when you think about the hardships, when you think about the struggles, when you think about your dreams for 2021, when you think about your plans for 2020, your hopes for 2021, is there anything more vital than developing the muscles, developing the ability to withstand the adversity, to be able to bounce back, and then actually be able to put one foot in front of the other and move forward and to grow and to thrive? It's what I want, it's what you want, it's what we all want. And for the last few weeks, we've been learning that our Heavenly Father wants that for us as well. Not only does He want it, He gives it to us. He provides it. We've been talking about five gifts that our Heavenly Father gives us that grow our resilience, that develop us into resilient people. Here's the great thing about these gifts. They are freely available for everyone. One of the things I so love about our church is that each week we have people who attend our church who do not believe what our church believes. We have people who attend online. They're just checking things out. 2021 happened and nothing else got better. So maybe you're like, maybe church will work. Maybe I'll check out faith. I went to church as a kid, but then I kind of stopped going for a while. I'm not sure how I feel about this Jesus guy, but I'll give anything a chance at this point. Like, I love that about our church. It's why we designed our church. so that people could kind of kick the tires of faith and discover what so many of us have, which is that Jesus is even better than he sounds, and he truly does deliver on everything he promises. And so as we're talking about these gifts that God gives, know that they're not just available to a chosen few. They're not just available to the perfect people who go to church every week, because they ain't perfect either. We're going to get to that in a minute. They're freely available to everyone. And the first gift he gives, what we talked about week one, is so crucial. He gives us the gift of security, the gift of knowing what we can build our lives on, what we can count on, who we can trust. And the answer is Jesus. I don't know if you're new to, church, if you're new to faith, you're like, I'm not trusting Jesus yet. I say yet because I believe if you explore Jesus, and I believe if you ask questions about Jesus and you surround yourself with the people of Jesus and you understand who he is, eventually you will. And what you'll find when you do is that he is rock solid. He is that firm foundation I need, you need, we all need in our lives to be able to withstand whatever comes our way, to be able to bounce back, to be able to move forward. And that begins, as we talked about week one, with receiving our security from the God of the universe. But not only does he give us security, he gives us the gift of identity. He gives us the gift of knowing who we are. We are defined by God, and we are designed for good. Last week, April Colquitt taught an amazing message on another gift we received from our Heavenly Father, the gift of belonging, the gift of knowing where we fit, the gift to knowing where we are accepted, and that, too, is found in Jesus. And the cool thing is, as we begin to find our security in him, and as we begin to receive our identity from him, and as we begin to feel accepted by him, it becomes easier to receive the fourth gift, a gift I want to talk about today. And that gift is this. Jesus gives us the gift of purpose. Now, what does that mean? Jesus gives us the answer to a crucial question we never directly ask, but we spend most of our lives trying to answer, and it's this. Why am I alive? What's my purpose here? Why do I matter? And here, for the ultra-competitive people in the room like me, it's really this. How do I know at the end of each day that I won? Don't laugh. You feel the same way. But ultimately, that's what the purpose question answers. When I put my head on the pillow each night and I think about my day, did I win today or did I lose today? Was I successful today? Did I play my role? Did I accomplish my purpose? Did I do what I was supposed to do today? Did I do what I intended to do today? Again, you may not have ever asked your question, why am I alive? But when you think about these three factors, when you think about the choices you make, the choices you make each day are driven by, is this going to make me feel like I'm accomplishing something or not? Is this going to make me feel like I'm winning, like I'm achieving? Is this going to make me feel like I've made a difference today or not? Our choices, our priorities, our commitments, what we hold to, what we value above something else, all those things ultimately come from our purpose. Why do we think we're on this earth? Why do we think we were created? Why are we here? What is our ultimate objective? What is our ultimate goal? And again, I'll say it because a lot of you are wired like me. How do I win? I don't mean beat other people, but how do I know I did what I was supposed to do today and I can be satisfied in that and wake up and try again tomorrow? It is one of the most important questions we will wrestle with our entire lives. And many of us, me included, will seek many different places to try to find the answer to that question. Let me give you just a few. Some of us will try to find it in power. You know, if I could just get to the place where I'm in charge, if I could just get to the place where people listen to me and I have influence, that's why I was created. That's my purpose. For others, it's position. Now, this can be either in a career environment or a home environment. Man, if I can just become the boss, if I can just get this job, if I can just get married, if I can just become a wife, if I could just become a mom, that's why I'm here. That's my purpose. And then I'll know, like I've done it. I've got it. Other people, it's pleasure. Your goal in life, the whole goal is to be able to do what you want, when you want, how you want. That's freedom. That defines everything. And others, other people's possessions. Now, again, possessions is kind of a nasty way to say it, but they had to all be P's at this point. So they just did. I'm a Baptist at heart. I'll never change. Alliteration changes the world. And so possessions means your ultimate purpose is to acquire enough stuff so you'll be safe. That's the goal. Accumulate enough wealth. If I can get enough, boom. Then, that's why I was here. I got enough. Now I am safe. For other people, it's popularity. If I can just get them to like me, if I can just get them to recognize me, if I can just get everyone to like me, then everything will be better. If that is your pursuit, it's why you're always so exhausted. Because it's impossible. But we do it. I do it. You do it. We all do it. And then there's pursuits. Pursuits are those outward goals that aren't bad. They're great. It could be an academic goal. It could be a sports goal. It could be a career goal. None of those are bad things. None of these are bad things. Please hear me. None of these are bad things. In fact, these are all gifts from God. These are gifts that He gives you to acquire and to bless you and to be used to help others. But they're not our purpose. Because everything on that list can change. Everything on this list can go away. Power, you can lose it. Position can change. Pleasure can be fleeting. Possessions can be taken away. Popularity, please. I need to say no more. And pursuits. Even pursuits can't be your purpose because you know you can be pursuing something and something can happen that is completely outside of your control and the pursuit goes away. Again, see 2020. And so we've been talking about this entire series. God is giving us gifts that are rock solid, unshakable foundations upon which we can build our lives. So why in the world would He say the very reason you exist, the very reason you're alive, your purpose is something that can go away? Your purpose is something that a pandemic can wipe out. That your purpose is something that one mistake can erase. I have good news. He wouldn't and He didn't. Your Heavenly Father, just like He gives eternal security, just like He gives eternal identity, just like He gives eternal belonging, gives me, you, all of us an eternal, unshaking purpose. He gives us the ability to wake up each morning and know this is what He wants me to do today. And the promise that each night we can go to bed and say, thank you, Jesus, I won today. I was a success today, regardless of circumstances. Now, before we go any further, doesn't that sound better? Doesn't it sound better to be able to wake up each morning, look yourself in the mirror, and know the reason that you're alive, the reason your purpose for existing is not dependent on circumstances? It's not dependent on other people. It's not dependent on other situations. It's something fully and completely within your control. That each night you can go to bed never having to blame another person for any bad moment in your life. Because they didn't change your purpose. They might have changed your circumstances. They might have changed convenience. But the reason you exist is unshaking. And so your success or failure each day is measured solely by something that is completely within your control. I'm just asking, doesn't that sound better? Don't you think it would be easier each day to get up? Be easier each day to go to bed? Easier each day to find clarity? Easier each day to withstand the craziness, especially of this current season? If we understood, hey, this isn't why I'm alive. This isn't me. This isn't why. This is what I do, but this isn't my purpose. This isn't what God called me to do. He has something better for me. Now, what is that? Well, to answer that question, I want to take you to a man named Paul. Talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring. Paul wrote about half what we call the New Testament. And Paul plays a unique role in Christianity. Paul was one of a few men that are called apostles. What that means is they had direct contact with Jesus himself. Jesus actually comes back and appears to Paul multiple times after he's ascended into heaven. He has conversations with Paul. In fact, Jesus appears to Paul and is like, yo, bro, what are you doing? You need to become a Christian. And Paul's like, well, you're here, so I will. And Paul becomes a Christian at that point. And these apostles were given these special gifts to speak on God's behalf to his church. And they did it primarily through the letters they wrote. Because there was no Bible. There was no New Testament. There was no understanding of who Jesus was, except for the people who actually knew him personally. And so what God did is God chose Paul and a couple other guys, James, a guy named Peter, and a guy named Luke, and he speaks through them. He speaks through their writings directly to us. See, Paul would write letters to Christians to give them instructions for what it meant to be a Christian and how to follow Jesus. And what we believe is that when Paul was writing those letters, God himself was speaking directly into Paul. And Paul was writing exactly what God wanted him to say. So almost 2,000 years later, we're literally reading letters from God to us. That's why we care about the Bible. And one of these letters, specifically in 2 Corinthians, which is one of the letters he wrote to the church in Corinth, Paul receives from God and gives to us our purpose. It's not mysterious. It's not hidden. It's black and white. It's crystal clear. It's right there. It's been available for thousands of years. We just miss it. We move past it because it's so simple. It's so easy. You're like, really, this is it? This is why I exist? And Jesus says, that's exactly why you exist. So if you have your Bibles, open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 15, is where we're going to be. And Paul, like he often does, begins this writing by inviting people in to understand something bigger than themselves. And he begins talking about Jesus. And he reminds them, hey, don't forget, guys, he died for everyone. Talking about Jesus. He didn't die for just a few people. It wasn't selective. He came and he died for everyone. Why did he have to die? Maybe you know the story. We're all born sinners. Sin is just anything we do God doesn't want us to do. Sin sabotages our life. Sin separates us from God because God can't be around sin. In fact, the only thing God can do with sin is destroy it. And so Jesus came to earth to rescue us from God's destruction. Because God should have destroyed us because of our sin. Rather than destroying us, he destroyed Jesus in our place. He died. When he died on that cross, he took the punishment I deserved and you deserved and we all deserved once for all time and punished Jesus in our place. And he did it for everybody. Not just the good people. Not just those of us who have our act together or at least pretend like we have our act together. He died for everyone and he did it on purpose. Watch this. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. See, he gave up his life so that you could give up yours. And so that I could give up mine. What that means is our purpose will not be found within ourselves. Our purpose will never be us. Our purpose will never be inward. Our purpose will never be selfish. Because Jesus literally died so that we could have better than that. So that we too would no longer live for ourselves. What do we live for? Well, Paul tells us. He says, instead, those of us who consider ourselves Christians, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. What that means is, because of what Jesus did, our purpose will be found in him. He died so that we could be set free, so that we could live a better life, and that better life will be found not within ourselves, but within Jesus. By following him, by listening to him, and by letting him lead us. How do we do that? Well, good question. Paul keeps talking. He says, see, because of this, we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view and how differently we know him now. Just about all of us in the room have had this experience that call ourselves Christians. There were times when we weren't a Christian. And Jesus was just some guy. And then we had an encounter. We changed our mind and we discovered he was truly the Son of God. We change the way we view him. And what Paul is saying is, okay, and if you want to live like him, if you want to live out your purpose in him, you have to adopt his view, not just of yourself, but of the world. You have to stop viewing other humans through your lens and view them through his lens. Say, well, Paul, how do we do that? Well, number one, we listen to Jesus. We come to church, we read our Bibles, we pray, we allow him to change us from the inside out. But we also begin to think about some people in our lives that we still hold to a human point of view. People who don't quite measure up to our standard. People who we have disagreements with. People who we don't like. People who we've chosen to look down on. People who we've decided they're beneath us. They're gone because of their actions, because of things they've done. You know, I'm not judging you. That's a human point of view. Humans do that. But what Paul's saying is you got to remember, Jesus died for you so you wouldn't live for yourself. He died so you'd live for Jesus. And to live for Jesus, we have to live like Jesus, which means we stop evaluating humans from a human point of view. And we start thinking about other people the way Jesus thinks about other people. And how do we do that? Well, we embrace this truth that Paul's about to remind us of. He says, this means that anyone, not just the good people, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. See, that's easy for us to remember or for us. Yeah, I know who I was and I know who I've become, so that's good. It's harder for us to remember that, especially for certain people. For the people that, again, that think differently than us, different political beliefs than us, different behaviors than us, different actions than us. It's easy to fall back into the human point of view. And what Paul's trying to say is, well, okay, I understand that, but to live out our purpose, to live for Jesus, we have to view the world the way he does. And that means remembering anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And I love Paul. He's speaking very positively and very forward-thinking here, but if you've been a Christian for longer than 10 minutes, you know that's more of a goal than reality. You know you wish the old life was gone, but you know the old life is going. And sometimes not going as fast as you wish it would. You know the new life has begun, but the new life hasn't settled itself. I have been a Christian now for about 30 years. And I got bad news for you, folks. My old life, he comes back to see me all the time. He just knocks on the door. He's like, can I hang out this weekend? I'm like, no. He's like, well, I'm gonna. And my temper comes out, and I yell at my kids. I'm not gonna tell you what I say. I've been doing this thing 30 years, and I sin every single day. And I wish I could tell you it's new stuff. I wish I could tell you I've beaten all the old stuff, but that's not true. There are some things, I'm like, you've been struggling with this for 30 years. What is wrong with you? I say, well, that's why he died for anyone. Because if anyone's included, it means I'm included. Because if there is any level of performance required for Jesus, I myself am disqualified. And so are you. And what Paul's saying is, guys, if we really want to get this right, if we want to live out our purpose, we've got to remember that. We've got to remember that everyone's in process. And that Jesus doesn't give up on anyone ever. Therefore, we can't give up on anyone ever. Does Jesus correct? Does he teach? Absolutely. But to view the world as he views the world is to view every single person as an opportunity to experience the new life we've experienced. How do we do that? Well, Paul tells us, we remember one thing. All of this is a gift. You didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. We didn't earn it. It's a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. We didn't do it. He did it. Jesus Christ is 100% responsible for every ounce of my faith and everything I've ever done. It's him, it's not me. And as we remember that, it becomes easier to remember that's true about other people. And this matters. Because God gave us this gift for a reason. That's what Paul says. He says, and God has given us this task. See, this is all pretext. This is all reminder. This is all bringing us all into what we've experienced and some of the things we struggle with because God has given us a task. Would you like to know what the task is? The reason you breathe, the reason you're alive, your purpose on this earth. Here it is. Reconciling people to him. Reconciling people to God. To help other people fall in love with God. That is why you're here. And I read that, and I think, that's got to be a mistake. Because that sounds way above my pay grade. Jesus, if you have hinged the hopes of the world on me, it was a bad choice, dude. I think you picked the wrong person. And Jesus would say, I didn't pick the wrong person. I picked you. And if you just trust me, if you just walk with me, I'll do more than you ever imagined. And you still want to push back and say, dude, this is above my pay grade. There is no way. This is actually what you've, this is why I'm here. You want me to wake up every morning, go to bed every night? How many people did I reconcile to God today? And he would say, that's exactly what I want you to do. Really? Yes. And Paul keeps going. He explains why. He says, see, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. The world. Not just my sin, not just your sin, not just the sins of people we like, not just the sins of our friends, but the people we don't like, the sins of our enemies, the sins of the other political party, the sins of people we agree with, the sins of people we don't agree with. God was, in Christ, trying to reconcile the world to himself. And watch this. You know what he did? He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. He didn't just do it. He gave it to us. And again, some of you are like, that's not really what he says. Yeah, he gave us the message, but other people probably have the message too. I'm not so sure. And Paul's like, I knew you'd say that. I knew you'd try to back out of this. So Paul makes it even clearer. He says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is an official representative of something bigger than itself. An ambassador speaks on behalf of the higher entity. And he didn't say, we will be Christ's ambassadors when we get our act together. He didn't say, we might be Christ's ambassadors on our best day. Anyone who has come to Jesus is a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has become. And they, we, us, are Christ's ambassadors. And here's what that means. It means that God is making his appeal through us. Like I said, I've been a Christian for 30 years, which means I've had a lot of conversation. I was a Christian in college, which if you know any college Christians, we just like to talk a lot and pontificate a lot. If you're in college right now, enjoy it. You'll never be smarter than the high school to college years. You'll get dumber like forever. So never smarter. 15 to 22, brilliant. Get married and have a kid, dumb forever. But we used to sit around and talk, and maybe you've had conversations like this. Maybe you've had the thought yourself. I've had the thought myself. You know, if God's real, which he is, and if God loves the world, which he does, like, why doesn't he, like, just give a sign? Just give a sign to the world. Like, Jesus, like, why don't you just appear in the sky for, like, 5 minutes, let everybody film you, put it all on TikTok, like, hi, I'm Jesus, it's real, you should follow me, you should believe me. Like, we've all thought it, right? Like, why not? Why not make it so easy? Like, why not give a sign to the world that you're real, God? You know what he would say back? I did. It's you. My followers. My church. Men and women who will come together despite racial differences, despite ethnic differences, despite socioeconomic differences, despite political differences, and you're going to love each other, and you're going to forgive, and you're going to serve, and you're going to love the world, and you're going to change the world, and it's happened for 2,000 years. I don't need to send a sign. You're the sign. The reason you wake up each morning is to be the sign, is to prove to the world that I am who I say I am. Is to live your life in a way to fulfill what Paul says as he ends this passage. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You know what Paul's saying? See, the reason we breathe, the reason we exist, the answer to the question of why am I alive? The answer to that question is so simple, yet so powerful. I'm alive, you're alive, we're all alive. Our purpose is this, is to love God and to make him known. That's it. That's the list. To love God, not just with our hearts, but with our lives. To sacrifice what we want for what he wants. To follow him, to love him, to engage with him, to have our lives changed by him. And then to let the way we live our lives invite others to experience the same thing. To make Jesus known, to make Jesus famous, to bring glory to our Heavenly Father, to make people lean in and go, I don't know what it is about that person, but they've got something I don't, and it's not them, it's bigger than them, and I want to know what that is. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. That's why we all exist. And here's the beauty of that purpose. You can fulfill that purpose in any circumstance. You can fulfill that purpose when your business is a success, and you can fulfill that purpose when your business is less than a success. You can fulfill that purpose in sickness. You can fulfill that purpose in health. You can fulfill that purpose in poverty, and you can fulfill that purpose in wealth. I did not mean to rhyme that, but I did. It is a universal, unshaking purpose. It is what we should get up each morning thinking about. It is the only measure of success we should ask ourselves when we put our head down at night. God, did I do what I could do today to love you and to make you known? Yes, thank you. Let's go to bed. No, well, show me what I should have done and show me how to try it again tomorrow. Now, I hope you get that these all work together. Let's go back to the five gifts real quick. Because these all work together, because none of this matters if we aren't first finding our security in him. See, if we're not finding our security in him, you know where we're going to find it? We're going to find it in whatever purpose we've attached our life to. And if my purpose is to be a successful businessman and pursue that, well, guess what's going to happen? I'm not going to feel safe until I get that. And then when I get it, I'm still not going to feel safe. And I'm not going to understand what happened. And it's because our security must be in something eternal, which is Jesus. And once it's there, then we receive our identity from Jesus. We believe who he says we are. We then receive our belonging from Jesus. He accepts us like no other. And then we are ready to fulfill, when we receive those things from him, our purpose from Jesus. The eternal question that we struggle with every single day. Why am I alive? And his answer is so clear and so simple. You're alive, I'm alive, we're alive. To love God and to make him known. Wellspring, what would happen tomorrow if you woke up believing that? What would happen tomorrow night as you put your head down on the pillow and you thought about your day and you measured the wins and losses, the successes or failures, but if that was your standard and that alone was your standard? Again, ask the same question I asked at the top. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be easier to know what happened that day? Wouldn't it make you feel like you were in control? Wouldn't you feel stable and anchored in your life, knowing that your success or failure isn't measured by anything other than things you can 100% control? You see, you know what happens when we get this? You know what happens when we understand this? We begin to parent not as it being our purpose, but we parent with this purpose. We parent knowing I exist to love God, and I exist to help them love God. That's my purpose. We lead at work, understanding that's our purpose. We play our sports, understanding that's our purpose. We go to school, we try to get good grades, understanding, hey, I'm going to do the best I can because that's the way to honor God. That's the way to glorify God. Absolutely. But I'm here, I exist to love him and to point others to him. That's the list. everything else is changing. Everything else can be shifted. My Heavenly Father could put me in this circumstance or this circumstance. I'm okay because my purpose is secure. I'm going to love Him and I'm going to brag about Him every time I get the chance. Look, it's totally up to you. But here's what I'll say. If you think your life would be better with that as your measure of success, then it's very simple. Decide today to believe it tomorrow. Just decide right now. And decide between now and tomorrow, you're going to do whatever it takes to help you remember this is your purpose. You're going to write it somewhere. You're going to text a buddy. You're going to have a conversation with your spouse. You're going to have a conversation with your parents. You're going to have a conversation with your friends. You're going to admit, you know, I kind of struggle with this. I really do. But that just feels right. That's better. And I can do all the other things, but to know each day, my measure of success is, God, did I love you? Did I serve you? Did I obey you? And man, did I try to make you known? Because here's the good thing. In all other areas of life, when you fail, you know what happens? People are like, what is wrong with you? Why did you fail? If you fail in this purpose each night, you go to your Heavenly Father, God, I failed today. God, I didn't do it today. God, I didn't measure up today. You know what He says? I know. And I picked you anyway. I knew that was going to happen. And I still sent my son. He paid the price. Don't let it get you down. Come to me. I'll help you learn how to avoid that in the future. But don't you let it cause you one more second of distraught. Because it's already paid for. It's gone. I don't know about you, but in my life, that sounds better. So I'm going to decide today that I'm going to believe that tomorrow. Because I know I'm competitive, I'm going to tell my wife. She has permission to remind me that I said that. You do whatever it takes to anchor yourselves to the reason God created you. And just watch. As you find it so much easier to withstand adversity, to bounce back, and to grow. As you embrace and I embrace and we all embrace the very reason we were created. To love God and to make Him known. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You so much. God, we're just so thankful for the clarity of Your Word. We thank You for the invitation to belong to You. We are thankful for the task of partnering with You to change the world. God, I just pray that You will anchor this truth in our hearts. Lodge it so deep that the struggles of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, even though it might obscure it, it can't take it away. Father, may we continue to come back to You where we find our security, where we find our identity, where we find our belonging, but we also find our purpose, the reason we breathe. God, may we always be reminded of the task You've given us, and may it be the ultimate measure of our lives. We love You. We thank You. And in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.